I am. God is Elohim of all the holy prophets, the El Shaddai. Of all the seers and sages, he's the mighty one. Of all the sacred pages, he's the great I am. He's the great I am, the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace, the great eternal wonder, holy counselor, and Zion's righteous governor. He's the great I am. He's Jehovah God, the coming King of glory. He's the trueness I, the Lord of grace and favor. He is Jesus Christ, Redeemer, friend, and Savior. He's the great I am. He's the great I am, the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace, the great eternal wonder, holy counselor, and Zion's righteous governor. He's the great I am. He's the strong Rophi, the healing one of heaven. He's the Holy Ghost, the sacred one of all the gospel story. He's the great I am. He's the great I am, the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace, the great eternal wonder, holy counselor, and Zion's righteous governor. He's the great I am. Oh, he's the great I am, the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace, the great eternal wonder, holy counselor, and Zion's righteous governor. He's the great I am. He's Jehovah God, the coming King of glory. He's the trueness I, the Lord of grace and favor. He is Jesus Christ, Redeemer, friend, and Savior. He's the great I am. The great I am, everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace, great eternal wonder, holy counselor, and Zion's righteous governor. He's the great I am. Oh, he's the great I am, the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace, the great eternal wonder, holy counselor, and Zion's
hallelujah. He's the great I am, Jehovah, the mighty God in Christ, reconciling the world unto themselves. Gotcha. Gotcha. Reconciling the world unto himself. You know, I was reading the scripture about the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. And in that Greek word is zealous. It means desiring. It also means jealously. In other words, God, I know that the town next to me really needs a move of God. And I do hope that they get one, but tonight, God, I'm sorry. I've got to have one myself. I know my neighbor needs a good apostolic Holy Ghost fit. But God, you know I've been through some things right now and I need one. Seek ye the kingdom of God first. What did Jesus say? If you got a plank and a big beam in your own eye, how can you pull a splinter out of someone else's. Amen. Don't know where that come from. Some things we need to want more than anything in our lives. There's got to come a time when we pray, when we seek the will of God and desire the will of God, that it means so much to us that it consumes us. And we become, oh, here comes a word that a lot of preachers can't stand. We become fanatical about it. The definition of a fanatic means it's someone that you can't change their mind or the way they think about something. I'm telling you, when God baptized and created this church on the day of Pentecost, it was a fanatical church. And He said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to set fires like you've never set fires before in old dry fields, friend, you got to get fanatical and believe that that field can burn. But before you believe that field can be set on fire and burn passionately, you've got to believe that there can be a fanatical passion burning inside of you. My God. Ooh, I better go ahead and get my... I'm going to start preaching. Daniel chapter 3. Very familiar scripture. I like familiar scriptures. You know, also, let me just throw this in while it's on my mind. About the lady that found the lost coin. Something struck me also, Brother Perry, when you said when she cleaned that whole house, and lo, it laid in a crack. She not only found that coin she was looking for, but she found a crack. And if you feel like your Holy Ghost is leaking out, clean that thing up and find the crack. Because that coin is too precious to lose. Good lesson. Daniel chapter 3. Verse 16. I do appreciate everybody being here tonight. I know it's a sacrifice for many. I do appreciate it, and I am honored. The food has been tremendous, and the friendship has been excellent. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve, key word is serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. The key thing here tonight is verse 16. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, in good old East Texas language, I'm not on it. Let me get it in our young kids' language. Talk to the hand. Because my ears aren't listening. Isn't that the way it goes? Something like that? What is it? Speak to the hand because the face ain't listening. That sounds kind of like a smart aleck remark, doesn't it? I used to hate it when I'd say, let me tell you something, and my wife go. Burn me up. But you know, for two to have an argument, it takes two to put input in. And if you've got somebody, a little fire stirring up that you don't want to burn, just stop throwing a log on that thing and it'll burn out. But tonight I want to let the devil know, talk to the hand, because this face ain't listening. Oh, come on. Some of y'all need to get smart aleck against the things of evil, because it don't care about you. You love the things that wants to love you, but the things wants to destroy you, wants to kill you, wants to separate you from God. You need to tell that thing. How about that? Lift your hands and let's worship God. In the name of Jesus, when we worship God with our hands lifted, I believe now we're telling the things of hell and the devil, talk to the hands, because my face is speaking to God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord my God. The conqueror of sin, the breaker of chains, the liberty that flies through my heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now throw another twist in it before you're seated. The thought I'm going to preach on tonight. It's a point of no return. Point of no return. You may be seated. The point of no return. I sit here and I watch faces through the worship service, and I watched them. Some worshiped, some gave everything they got, some gave just what they thought was routinely to do, and some just sit there. And I begin to wonder, God, where is this message fitting in? And then they started singing about, He brought me out of the miry clay. They begin to sing about the delivering power of God. And I really, be honest with you, I did not feel like worshiping. I did not feel like standing up and doing my feet. I felt like maybe picking them up and dropping them like that. And then, you know, He brought me out. I'm thankful for you, God. But then my mind began to say, are you really thankful? My soul began to say, are you really thankful? If you're thankful, then maybe just because you don't feel like it, you need to do it anyway. And I begin to pick my feet up, and I begin to give it all I've got. And friend, before long, I started feeling power coming down. And I'm telling you, we are getting tired. We have been fasting already one day, and the first day seems like hell on earth. But friend, I'm telling you, we've got to get to a point in our worship, in our dedication, in our commitment that says, I'm not going back. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they looked at that king and they say, I don't care what you do to this old body. I'm not going back. I'm not worshiping idols. I'm not going to fall down before you. I've got a future ahead of me. I've got a God that won't see me. I've got a God that's invested something in me. I've got a God that loves me. And they refused to obey the little K king's commandments, because they said to obey the little K is to turn our back on the big K. And the old devilish spirit said, hey, if you don't, I'm going to put you in fire and burn you alive. Now, there ain't but one other death that I fear the most than burning alive in a building, a car, or something, and that's being smothered or suffocated. And he even heated this thing up so hot that it consumed the very ones that was casting him in. But I want you to notice one thing. When they obeyed their God and they held fast to their God and they went into the fire, there wasn't but one thing that was burnt away. I said when they held fast and they didn't care, because if they knew that if I die today, I'll be with God tomorrow or right now, they knew that I've got to hold fast, that heaven is worth more than hell ever thought to be worth. And when they went into that fire because they refused to obey the gods of the world, friend, there wasn't but one thing that was taken away from them, and that was the chains that bound them. Hang on, hang on, hang on. Fight on, fight on, fight on. Pray on, pray on, pray on. Shout on, shout on, shout on. Because there ain't but one thing that's going to fall away from you when you make it through, and that is your bondage. But we've got to get to a place in our mind, in our faith, and in our heart that it don't matter what it hair lips or who, we are going through. The Hebrew children, first thing they did was reminded their enemy just who they served, and that their faith was strong, and that their faith was sure, and it was not going to be shaken, and that it didn't matter what the enemy brought on them, they was going to serve it going into that thing, and they was going to serve him going out. We are not careful. And tonight the deliverer is in the building to take all of your bondage away, to give you a freedom in God like you've never experienced before. And I want to know, are you going to be careful to answer? In other words, are you going to hesitate? Now let's talk about. The astronauts, when they are cast out into space, when they first started, and that spaceship would get to the moon, they would use the moon's gravitational pull to get them back to the Earth. Because once they set out and they burned through, there was a point they told the astronauts, if you're going to give out, you need to give out now. You need to pull out now. You need to back off now, because once you get to this area, there is no returning. You'll die without getting to the moon and getting that gravitational pull, because you don't have the fuel to make it back. We need to get to where we don't care what statistics say. Take some of this. Look what everybody else is doing. Let me tell you something. I got low on faith one day, and I sat in a Pentecostal church on the back row, and I looked at that, and I said, you know, I could go to a charismatic church and still shout and run the aisle and still speak in tongues and think everything's cool. And God smote me by His mercy and His grace, and I knew right then I was where I needed. I had to come to a place where I said, God, I cannot back up. I cannot stop. I cannot hold up. My Lord, when you get the armor of God on, search that armor out. What does it cover? Breastplate. Gird up your loins. The sword. The shield. What is its primary purpose to protect? So anytime you decide to turn away and go back, you're asking for death and tragedy. You're asking for destruction not only within the church, but with the people that are without the church. You think people don't care about the way you live and the way you pray? Go ahead and backslide. Did Abraham reason with God when God told him to go? No, he just set out to a city whose builder and maker was God. Did Daniel reason with God? Did Gideon reason with God to the point where he wanted to back up and leave out? No. What about David? I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm feeling that God is in this building and we have come to a place that he said, if you'll just press through. God, no more of the normal services. No more of the just mundane things. No more of the common, if there is such, moves of God. It's time for miraculous, supernatural manifestation, power-packed harvest. But when it comes, it's when we decide that we will never turn our backs. In the two rounds. Maybe that's why I've got this so heavy on my heart. But I walked today in one hospital room and prayed for a man. He was a backslider, mightily used of God at one time. But he's bit a bait that says, I've gone too far and God can't. And I prayed for him. Me and another pastor, I picked up and we laid hands on him and we prayed for him. And we felt the power of God. And then I just opened my eyes and I looked at him and he sat calloused watching the television. So I began to pray more earnestly. God, I said, loudly that he could hear me, remove the scales of his heart. God, don't curse the tree. Give it one more season to bear fruit. I opened my eyes and he's still watching that TV. But a tear began to roll down his cheek. Walked in the room right off the bat. I said, wait a minute, pray for you. He said, do your job. There are parallels to points of no return. But friend, I stepped into another room of a dear lady that I love tremendously, Sister Lois George, and felt the impact of the Holy Ghost. Sit there, she couldn't move, she couldn't raise her arms. Her kidneys had shut down and they had just started to function again. Me and this man began to pray with her. And she began as much as she could. You couldn't understand her. Just babbling, trying to pray. Trying to get one more prayer out. And her backslidden daughter began to fall at her feet and cry. And we laid hands on her. And she just began to tremble. And all of a sudden, she just locked up. I thought, oh God, if she'll just open her mouth. We'll pray her through right there. And there was her mother laying in that bed. And you could see her eyes tighten up. She was praying for her daughter. Somewhere there was a line that I've come too far to turn and go back now. But friends, just as strong as that is, there's another line that the devil's trying to feed us and trying to get us to bite a hold of that says, you've gone far enough. Come on, you run me out of here with a prickly pear limb. I've got to preach this. I'm telling you, God's wanting to do something with this church. He is not just brushed off your prayers. He has not brushed off your worship. He's not brushed off your commitment. But He's wanting you to keep on going. He's wanting you to keep on praying. He's wanting you to keep on committing. He's wanting you to keep on worshiping. He's wanting you to keep on striving. He's wanting you to get the wet blankets and pray with them and dry them out. Set them on fire. Don't cast them away. Pray for them. Now, Brother Perry, I'm feeling the devil coming through this building with one of his imps, and he's waving a price tag. Hey, you've got too much going for you. Too much, oh God, you got too much athletical things that can happen for you, man. You, man, hey, give it up, give it up. There's more in this world. I can give you joy in this world. I can give you this going on. I can give you fame and fortune. I can give you notability. And I can give you an ego, man, that'll make you feel good. I can get you the girl swarm. Hey, mamas! Back off! Hey, you that's got loved ones in your life that's giving you hell, back off a little. Just sit back and back off and pity those things. Carry them right there. You know, Brother Perry, I just don't know why I can't get real this. If you could just pray for me every day and every hour, you know, oh, boo, 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 and it's gone. And then here we go, and I pick that thing up, put it right back on, and you want somebody else to pray for you. Friend, God don't want you walking around with a handicap. Get rid of that thing and walk to that problem that's trying to set it on you and say, I've got victory over it, and I plead the blood on you. God is wanting to produce a mighty revival, a mighty harvest, and He's wanting to use you. Don't give up. 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 You're at the breaking point. You're at the point where godliness is ready to come in and sweep you up and bring your problems before God. God, that message Brother Perry preached Sunday morning rolling through my mind. Don't give up. Don't give up. They may be illegitimate children, but they've got a soul. They've got a father that's wanting to adopt them. Make it when the brother, the pastor, or the brother and sister comes to you and they walk to shake your hand, let them be shaken in the realm of triumph and not tragedy. I'm building something. Come on. If you could see, church, if you, I'm talking about you that have been blood bought, you've repented, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're living a great life, a committed life, doing everything you can. If you could see what God could see in you. If you could see. Sister,
All of a sudden, you get a knock on your door.
Or doorbell ring, whatever you have.
You open that door and, well, hello. My name's Ed McMahon. You're the proud winner of $10 million. Hand you that big giant check that you can't hardly get through the door. Camera's gone away. Everything's gone away. The door's shut. What are you going to do? I'll cash that next month. If you're anything like me, you're going to go find the oldest chair in the house and kick that thing. Wow! I'm getting out of this place, and I guarantee you Brother Perry's going to go, wow, Ty!
Will you? I don't know.
And you're going to want to do everything. You'll go over and kick your dog and everything else and get up and get emotional too. Everything around you is going to be emotional. Everything around you is going to be lit up because there's something that's come across to you that has lit you up. And the Lord God of all glory can sit down and say, praise the Lord. I give you my spirit. Thy sin. You have the opportunity, if you hang on to this and maintain it, to walk on streets of gold. A street of gold. You have the opportunity to look at the Savior face to face and hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. I got carried away that night when I almost died of an overdose. You think I got carried away the night that God gave me the Holy Ghost? But there come a time and a place that I have come to a trial and I came to a war and I came through things and I had to decide, was it going to be this way or was it going to be that way? Came to a point in my life where I decided I had played around and I had played the part of a Christian. I had played the part of a Jesus named apostle. But all the time I knew I was a hypocrite. Finally, God brought us, drew a line in the sand of my life, and he said, son, this is it. One way or the other. And you know what, Brother Perry? I then went back into listening to my own music. I then went back. You remember the illustration of the dog returning to his vomit? I done went back. And one day when that line was drawn, and I was sitting down in despair, and I said, God, where did I go wrong? Oh, let me just put in this tape, and I'll be all right. And this group went to singing. When you have no light to guide you and no one to walk beside you, I will come to you. When you feel like your soul is dying and you need the strength to keep on trying, I will come to you. gentle weep. And I begin to cry. And I said, okay, God, I'm getting rid of this, this, and this, and this in my life. And friend, I found a place of a point of no return. I'm telling you, I'm feeling somebody in this building. You're about to buy the price tag of hell. And the price tag of hell can still keep you on the pew. It's just saying, I refuse. You know what passion is defined as? A powerful emotion. We need to become passionate for our God. That's what God was doing Sunday morning. He was coming through our hearts with a passion. With a passion that was stirring up our ease at Zion. A passion that was stirring up our comfort zone. He stirred me up. He stirred me. A passion. A drive. To say I can make the next service. A drive that says I can make the next altar. A drive, son, that says I'm going to keep on praying. A drive that says it doesn't matter what I do. I've got to get a hold of God. I've got to get a hold of God. I've got to close with this. 10 virgins, this is what I'm feeling. 10 virgins. We did a skit like this. I did it in a children's church one time, and the kids, we had 8 or 9 pray through the Holy Ghost. It became powerful, God moving that thing. But we had 5 praying at an altar, and 5 came through and said, hey, let's go to the ball game, or let's go to the mall, or let's go do this or that or another. Or come on, we've got better things we can do. And the 5 said, no, we're just going to stay around here and love God. And then all of a sudden, a voice cries out from the back, behold! And the 5 got up and ran out the door. And the door shut. And just as soon as it started to shut, the other 5 raced to the door. And it shut on. And they shook it. And they beat on it. And they said, God help me. God help me. I got to be through this door. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. I got time for you, Lord. I got time. Oh God, listen, look, I'm praying now, Lord. I'm praying. Oh, I love you. I love you. I'm praying now, Lord. I'm dancing for you, Lord. Help me open the door. 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 Friend, let me tell you what scripture's rolling through my heart right now. I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. But friend, I'm going to tell you there's going to come a day that that door of opportunity is going to shut. And the only thing left is judgment. Oh God, I want to know who wants to take advantage of the open door. Who wants to take another step and say, God, it's a point of no return. It's a point, God, I've got to come to a grip that I'm sold out to you. It's a point that our prayers become more passionate and more desiring than they've ever been before. It's a point like Sister George that says, and she's not a God. She's just somebody that's ill faithful. It says, God, to that feeble voice, God, good. My wife would come. Preacher, you saying somebody's going to die tonight? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that there's an open door before you. Some of you have been holding back from that door because of a hindrance. Some of you have been carrying the problem and not the problem carrying you. And tonight, we need to drop that thing. You shall tread upon serpents. You know what one translation says? You shall dance upon them. Who wants to come and pray? Who wants to come and say, God, I want that open door. What is my open door? Friend, if you hadn't repented, it's to repent is the first one. The second one is to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And the third one is receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Devil to an altar, and you let him know that greater is he that is in me. What will you give in exchange for your soul? For if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, what is he profiting? Sir, would you come? I'm asking, there ought to be 100% tonight that says, God, you said that if I'll draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to me. Here I come, Lord. Appoint a return.